At Sierra, discover top workout gear at incredible prices, which might lead to another discovery. Your headphones haven't been connected this whole time. Awkward. Discover top brands at unexpectedly low prices. Sierra, let's get moving.
When did making plans get this complicated? It's time to streamline with WhatsApp, the secure messaging app that brings the whole group together. Use polls to settle dinner plans, send event invites and pin messages so no one forgets mom's 60th, and never miss a meme or milestone, all protected with end-to-end encryption. It's time for WhatsApp. Message privately with everyone. Learn more at whatsapp.com.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. Checking off the boxes on your to-do list is a great feeling. And when it comes to checking off coverage, a State Farm agent can help you choose an option that's right for you. Whether you prefer talking in person, on the phone, or using the award-winning app, it's nice knowing you have help finding coverage that best fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
This episode is brought to you by Jack Daniels. Jack Daniels and music are made for each other. They share a rhythm in the craft of making something timeless, while being a part of legendary nights. From backyard jams to sold-out arenas, there's a song in every toast. Please drink responsibly. Responsibility.org. Jack Daniels and Old No. 7 are registered trademarks. Tennessee Whiskey, 40% alcohol by volume. Jack Daniel Distillery, Lynchburg, Tennessee.
Hi, this is Tony Ruggiero here on the Tour of Coach podcast, where we bring you the best mental coaches, fitness experts, teachers, players, everything from my journey in the game of golf to help you learn to play better golf, teach better golf, and enjoy the game. Come on in. We're going to have some fun.
All right, on location tour coach. I've been wanting to do this one for a while. I always like to talk to who are my favorite players that I don't teach, right? Because okay. I can pick your brain, I can give you shit, so I don't have to worry about your fire.
True.
Right? But Bobby Diaz, one of the great dudes out there. And we've had some fun making fun of each other.
Yeah, we have. I mean, I think that the Italian-Mexican combo is always good.
So a lot of similarities.
A lot of similarities, yeah. I mean, we like our families.
Love our families, we do.
Some Mexicans hit on their cousins. I don't know what happens in Italy, but I don't know. I don't think they do.
Italian-Americans, yeah, you can sit down south. Down south, it could happen.
Yeah, I don't
know. In Alabama, you could marry your Italian cousin.
I don't know many Italians in the south, but
a lot of there's shockingly a lot. I got to bring you to Alabama.
Mama's good. Yeah, I played a bunch of Hooters events. Hooters
back in the day.
Louisiana. I know Lee. I know of him. Yeah, we're not very close friends, but I know of him.
He like you. He's cheap as shit. He like you.
He played a lot of Hooters tours. He was a legend on the Hooters tour.
But I want to talk to you about. So you played, today we were talking about a caddy situation. You said you've been out there a long time. Been on the big tour, had some success, back down here now. You missed during the COVID deal, which was jacked up as a deal, and it's mismanaged the deal by anybody as there could have been. Nobody knew who was there or what was happening.
Yeah, nobody knew what was happening. Nobody knew what was COVID.
Right. Still don't, really. Yeah. But finished 27th on the Corn Ferry list. So didn't get your card back, but played good golf. What do you think? We were talking about what are the characteristics. What does it take to stay out here a long time on the PGA Tour, the Corn Ferry Tour, the LIV Tour, or whatever? What does it take to stay out? I'm curious what your thoughts on that. And have you ever stopped and thought, fuck, how long have you been out here?
So my rookie year was 2014, so this is going to be my 12th season. So 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25. I think that's a great question. I think that most of the people that get on this tour, they feel this tour and the PGA Tour, and this happened to me on the PGA Tour, and I mean, I talked to a couple of friends about this. Once you get to the PGA Tour, you try to copy somebody else. You try to get on this tour, and you get on this tour, you try to copy whoever's playing the best. And you forget what got you here. And when you get to the PGA Tour and you graduate from this tour, you get to the PGA Tour and you're like, oh, I want to play like that guy. Oh, I want to hit it like this other guy. Oh, I want to do what this guy does. Oh, this guy has a trainer. I should hire a trainer. oh, this guy has a physio. Oh, I should hire a physio. So a bunch of the stuff that happens on the PGA Tour revolves on what the best players are doing and how they do it. And people forget what got them there. So I guarantee you that if I can go back in time and I can redo things, what I did in 2017 that got me to the PGA Tour to play 18 and 19, I would do things very differently. Because what got me there was not what kept me there. What got me there was very good to stay there. But I started doing stuff on the PGA Tour that got me out of there because I thought I didn't belong. So I went through equipment change. I went through, you know, changed my fitness. I tried to be healthier, which, I mean, I got there being 195 pounds. And now that I'm trying to be healthier at 180 pounds, I'm playing like shit. So that makes no sense, right? You know? And
you
then
change who you are.
Yeah, so you change your natural essence. I think essence, and I talked about this 4 or 5 years ago, essence is what gets you to be the player who you are. So I'm never going to hit it. Yeah, so I'm never going to hit it 330 yards in the air like Rory did. I'm never going to swing at 130 miles per hour and ball speed of 195.
Not going to do it.
I cruise at 161. But
you know how to play golf.
But I know how to keep it short of the hole, and I know how to not fly greens, and I know when I have a flyer live that it's going to fly longer. So at the end of the day, if you count them all and you shoot on the par every week, I think you can make a pretty good living.
I think that's unbelievable insight. And I think it applies to golfers all the way down to junior golf and high school. I see, and maybe it's because of all this social media stuff like I didn't grow up with. But they see all this stuff. So, you know, I had a junior the other day. A parent called me not long ago. And their kid was good. We want to come see him. I said, okay, well, your kid's good. They told me how good. Why are you leaving who you're working with? Well, we think you could take our kid to the next level. I said, well, he's already on path to get to the next level. And they were shocked. They didn't come see me. I told them, I also think that with Scottie Scheffler's success, and he had this after the PGA press conference, he talked about he's been with Randy forever, and how Randy's helped him guide the ups and downs, been more than just a golf coach. I think in this world where everybody copycats, we may start seeing tour players go more back to where we may see. I know Justin Thomas was back with Matt Killen at the PGA. Right?
Yeah, and Jason Day went to see his coach from the Corn
Ferry.
He went to work with the Aussie guy I heard online. I mean,
look, I think we're going to see more of that. I really do.
I think that the golf industry and the golf business has grown so fast. And technology has taken it to different ways. And it's advanced 50 years in the last 5 years. So what happened to Jack Nicklaus, we didn't know what happened to Jack Nicklaus until Tiger came. That's 25 years. And then Tiger came and we didn't discover what happened to Tiger because he was so good until Trackman came out. But it took another 12, 15 years. And now we have all the data from all the players from 3D to Trackman, ground forces, to hack motions, to wrist angles, and you know, we got it all. So technology-wise, I think golf is the most advanced sport there is. The problem is that at the end of the day, once you hit the golf ball is going to react like it wants. Like the ground, the grass doesn't really know what kind of trackman you're using, and the putt doesn't know if you're hitting it with whatever. So I think that one of the things that is happening in golf is we're forgetting how to play. We are actually so involved into like how to hit it nice and not what we score. And I asked you today at the course, I said, what do you think Scottie Scheffler is that good? And you gave me a great answer. You said, because he plays the golf course like you're supposed to play. It's a fairway, and he hits a green, and he tries to make the putt. If he doesn't make it, his chances of making the next putt are increasing because all the data we have. You know, he's missed so many 10-footers at the whatever tournament, but the next one, he has a better chance of making it. His chances just went higher. And I remember my first year on the PGA Tour, I played with a couple veterans, my first couple events. One of them was one of your old students, Lucas. I played with him at Torrey Pines. And I was amazed of how he played golf. I played with him before on the Corn Ferry Finals. No, I played with him that same year on the Corn Ferry Finals.
What year was this?
This was 2018 Torrey Pines.
Yeah.
We got together, we played together in Torrey. And then we played together again in Ohio State, and he got his car back in the playoffs.
He's on that medical.
The way he went about his golf, to me, was amazing. You know, he never cared about hitting a cut. He aimed on the right side. He aimed on the right side and hooked the shit out of it. And then he aims to that right pin, pulls it down the middle of the green, puts it close, makes it. Left pins, he's making birdies. So if he has 9 left pins, he's going to make 6 birdies. If he has 3 left pins, he's going to make 3 birdies, and he's going to make birdie on the par 5. So he's a very, very smart guy, but he knows how to play golf.
Yeah, he plays his game.
Yeah, and then I also played with Keegan. Keegan is one of the best ball strikers I've ever played with. But he played the golf course like they're supposed to play. You know, he saw a fade, he hit a fade. He saw a draw, he hit a draw. But something that surprised me the most when I play on the PGA Tour, the best players are really good about hitting their numbers. They're not very good about hitting it long or hitting it high. Like, I played a round with Keegan Bradley in Hawaii, and on the first hole in Hawaii, dogleg right, 500 yards, we both hit driver right next to each other. And from that second shot, Keegan hit 7-iron, I hit 8-iron. Keegan stopped it in 2 yards, I went over the green. And on the next hole, he hit less club than me and threw it longer. And then the next club, on number 9, he drove me by 60. But that doesn't mean that he's going to hit it long every single time. That means that he controls the golf ball better than everybody. So that's the reason why he's so good. Yeah, he can hit it 330 yards. But he decides to hit a cut down the middle of the fairway 85% of the time at 290. And then he hits his 7-iron 175, and his pitching wedge goes the yardage that he wants to go. He will hit it close, and he will make the cut. That's the reason why he's successful. The best players in the world know how far their golf ball goes. And they know which shape, and they know where to hit it, and they know how to hit it.
I often say that if you go from college to, let's just say, college or to Corn Ferry to PGA Tour, that their actual average driving distance goes down a little. Because as the player develops, they figure out different swings and different shots they need to hit off of different tees to be successful in the game.
Yeah, I think every successful player besides, you know, the new era had a fairway plan. I think that everybody that played the game at a very high level teed it up low and hit like a low squeeze on the fairway and just get it in play.
Tiger did it.
Best ever. You know, and I think that's coming back. I think that players that have developed a lot of speed have to understand that they cannot always hit 5 up and 5 to the right. You know, they have to hit down on it.
Imagine fast hydration combined with balanced energy, perfectly flavored with zero artificial sweeteners. Introducing Liquid IV's new Energy Multiplier Sugar-Free. Unlike other energy drinks, you know, the ones that make you feel like you're glitching, it's made with natural caffeine and electrolytes, so you get the boost without the burnout. Liquid IV's new Energy Multiplier Sugar-Free Hydrating Energy. Tap the banner to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Indeed. When your computer breaks, you don't wait for it to magically start working again. You fix the problem. So why wait to hire the people your company desperately needs? Use Indeed sponsored jobs to hire top talent fast. And even better, you only pay for results. There's no need to wait. Speed up your hiring with a $75 sponsored job credit at Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
It's Pro Savings Days at Lowe's. Get up to 35% off select major appliances and save an additional $1,000 when you buy four select LG major appliances. Plus, get a free DeWalt 20-volt max 5-amp-hour battery when you buy a select DeWalt 20-volt max tool. Get the job done for less at Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9/26. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See associate or Lowe's.com for more details and qualifying items.
Popsicles, sprinklers, a cool breeze. Talk about refreshing. You know what else is refreshing this summer? A brand new phone with Verizon. Yep, get a new phone on any plan with Select Phone Trade-In and My Plan. And lock down a low price for 3 years on any plan with My Plan. This is a deal for everyone, whether you're a new or existing customer. Swing by Verizon today for our best phone deals. 3-year price guarantee applies to then current base monthly rate only. Additional terms and conditions apply for all offers.
Down on it, they will control the golf ball. The ball, golf ball will spin more, and it will not chase, and it will not go to the rough, and then you can play from the short grass. So yeah, I think that most of the time, people that lose their cards and people that struggle do what I did. I think they go and they try to chase a game that is not there.
Well, we're going to have dinner with Luca, and he would say the same thing. I've coached him now. I've coached him before some after he had lost his card and gone back to Corn Ferry. And he's had some really rough times. But he always tells me he can tell you the point when he was on the range. And here's a guy that was a top 60 player in the world. Yeah. Watching somebody hit balls, I think it was Adam Scott, but going, I need to make some changes to be able to beat them. And that was the start of the downfall.
Yeah.
And I think so many golfers do that. And I think they go to these coaches, and I'm not going to name names and I'm not going to bash people, but where coaches look at them as like a science experiment to put their mark on them so that you know they taught you.
Yeah, so it's funny you say that. One of my really good friends, closest friends in golf, I'm not going to say his name, but his first year on tour at Pebble Beach, he hit balls right in between Jason Day and Dustin Johnson. And he said
Two pretty good ones.
And he said he had to quit hitting balls. He said he had to drop his club. He said, all right, we're going to chip in. He left. He said after that day, he knew he couldn't play. He got to be top 20 in the world after that. Because he realized that if he continued to do what he did best, he was going to be that good. He still has a lot of success in the game, top 50 in the world, awesome player, but he goes about his business. He doesn't look anywhere else. He doesn't care who's playing. He doesn't care what the field looks like. He doesn't care where he's at. He's out there to the lowest score possible. And he's going to do it with what he's got.
That's the traits of what I think of guys that I've taught that have been what I would call the best players. Maybe not always the best ball strikers or whatever, but the best players. And how do you, okay, so you talk today, and it was, I love picking your, I love listening to you talk about golf and your game and where you're going. And you talked about the back nine last week when you basically kind of felt like you're out of it. You went back to hitting shots. They are paying attention to hitting a shot a number. And then you almost made the cut, missed about a shot. Talk about getting back to that. Because I think golfers, I always try to use these, obviously a lot of teachers listen to, but golf nuts that want to get better. People are nuts about getting better. What they could benefit. What did you do? What did you find doing that?
So, you know, through my career, I had a lot of caddies. But one of my best friends caddied for me 5 years. And we had a blast. He's my best friend in the world. We had a blast. And we played our best golf. We say we because he had a lot of input in what I was doing. We played our best golf when we hit our number. So I would go 6 weeks in a row without missing a number. So if we had 177 and we wanted to land at 168, I landed 168. But every day we had a drill on the range. Grab a chair, he sat behind me, and we hit every single number he told me. We had to hit it within 2 yards. Every single day, 2 up or 2 down. And he always told me, like, if you miss your shot by 5 yards, that's a terrible shot. But if I'm telling you it's a 150 shot and you need to land at 148, and you have in between 146 and 150, and you miss that number, you're terrible. So we went on and on and on, and then finally I started doing it on the course, and my results got astronomically better. Like my second half of the year in 2019, I think I missed 2 putts on the PGA Tour. I didn't keep my car because I played awful on Sunday. Not because I didn't have the chance. I MDF Minnesota. I shot like 78 on the John Deere after shooting 61 on Thursday. I had a chance to finish in Puerto Rico like top 3, and I shit the bed coming in. I was nervous as shit coming in. Travelers, I birdied the 17th hole on Sunday to finish 8th, and then every single result behind me, like these guys made birdies coming in and I finished 8th, if not I would have kept my card. And then on the Wyndham, I birdied 15, lip out on 16, 17 I bogey, I finished tied for 16th, and I don't get top 150 by 1 point. So I played amazing. I just didn't play good on Sundays. I guess I need to work more on my mental or not get as nervous, but I didn't take advantage of my opportunities. But by hitting my numbers and practicing to hit my numbers and not my golf swing, got me to play really good golf. So all the golf nuts out there, all the people so into like bowing the wrist or cupping the wrist or turning or getting to the right side, left side, hips and this and that,
That's not what's going to take you.
No, if you cannot hit a 100-yard shot and land it within 5 yards, you better go to figure out how to hit it 100 yards, not to cup your wrist or bow your wrist, because that's never going to get you to hit it 100 yards. I guarantee you the best players in the world are not thinking about how to wrist at the top to hit it 100 yards. So work. I had a chance to talk to Greg Norman about this and for 5 minutes, and he told me when he was the best player in the world, he only practiced 4 things. Driver number one, he thought he wanted to be the best driver of the golf course. He did. He was the best driver in the history of the game.
For sure. Unbelievable.
And then after that, he told me he only practiced 3 things. Lag putting, 5-footers, and 40-yard shot. And I asked him why, and he said, well, if I drove it in the fairway and I was going to go to a par 5 in 2 and I didn't get there, I was going to have a 40-yard shot or less. If I hit the green from the fairway, I was going to be lag putting. And if I was in trouble, I was going to chip it 5 feet. So I never hit my irons, I never practiced my irons, never did this, never did that. I just make sure that I drove it well, hit my 40-yard shot good, and I put it good inside 5 feet. And then he became number one. You know, he probably won how many times?
50, around the
60,
world.
60, 70, you know, like.
I think with all the lifts that people don't understand, especially if you were my age, I'm 54, and you grew up, you know, through the 80s and particularly the 90s, how damn good a player he was. And I mean, you know, he obviously, everybody knows he didn't win the Masters, but man, he won a lot of other stuff. And he was the
amazing.
Best player.
He won the British Open.
Right.
You know, yeah. It was unbelievable.
So, and this is awesome stuff. Last question. What do you feel like you need to do? Get back to playing the tour?
I have to do 2 things. One, I have to go back to playing my game. You know, I think that's the most important thing. And number 2, I have to make sure that I understand again, I did this already through my career. I need to understand again that when you're in contention, you're not going to win every time. So in my career, I've only won 5 times, and I probably played 400 events. So I know that I'm going to mess up more times than I'm going to do well. So I think that once you understand that, but you actually engrave it in your head, and you know that failure is more of an option than success, you play without fear.
Right.
And I think once you start playing without fear, really good things happen.
I remember I was teaching a golf school at Frederica, and Bill Harmon was my guest. We were talking about a player, and he said, golf's a really hard game to play.
Yeah.
Right? And I think that, and I had never thought about it that way, you watch players, but I think you become, and our good friend Greg Carson always talks about, like, once you don't judge yourself, you know, and like, understand that it's okay to fail, and then most of the time, like you said, you're going to.
Yeah. Right? So, I'll give you a great example. So, every time that you see somebody trying to win a golf tournament, and they have a 5-footer to 10-footer on the last hole, watch their strokes. Their strokes get shorter.
No.
Because they're trying to get it over with. Because they're scared.
Everybody's scared.
Yeah, everybody gets scared. I mean, I've been shitting myself out there. I've been trying to not puke on the last hole of tournaments. But you know, at the end of the day, nothing's gonna happen. That's why I really like what John Rahm said this past week, like, we got to play golf. So once you understand that, you can actually free it up, but actually free it up. It's a very big difference between saying you're going to free it up
and
actually free. Like, I played a lot of golf with one of your students, Tom Lovelady.
Oh.
And when he was free, nobody could beat him. I mean, nobody could. The kid hit it 340 and he putted amazing.
And he was a great wedge player.
Yeah. So, I mean, once you're not scared.
I also always thought, not to talk about Tom, and if he watches, he's like, but like, when he first went, come out of college, and everything was bright and new, no real expectations, and he Mondays into Nashville, and then he goes and he gets corn, and he goes through Corn Ferry Q School, or Corn Ferry Tour finals, and he plays and he gets his card. It was like, but there were no expectations. He was just happy to be out there. But then out on tour, and you start having the expectations. And I mean, I think he would probably say a lot of the same things you did about, you know, trying to be different. If he just learned that,
yeah,
he's going to be fine. He was the best. And is there anybody better to hang out with than Tom Lovelady? No. He's the best. Bobby, thank you.
Thank
We're
going
to go have us a good dinner, but I appreciate it. This is fun.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.